Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I'm your host, Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Collide. Leading off today, we've talked a bit about iOS 17.5, which is currently in developer and public beta testing. We've recently discovered, however, that the update also includes some pretty clear references at new iPad Pros. For instance, there are four new iPad models added to the initial iPadOS 17.5 beta, and they likely correspond to two sizes of iPad Pro with Wi-Fi and cellular versions. It's also been long rumored that the new iPad Pros will utilize OLED displays for the first time. Corroborating that, new display firmware has also been added to iPadOS 17.5, and these new firmware files have only been added to the new iPad Pro model identifiers. iPadOS 17.5 also confirms that there are two suppliers for the OLED displays in the upcoming iPad Pro refresh, with display firmware for both LG and Samsung in the beta. Analyst Ross Young has previously reported that Samsung will only initially make the 11-inch iPad Pro panels, which could mean a constrained supply for the 11-inch iPad Pro models at launch. But ultimately, thanks to the adoption of OLED on both the smaller and larger iPad Pro models, the lineup should once again gain display parity between both of the devices. According to the latest rumors, we're expecting Apple to announce these new iPad Pros and new iPad Airs sometime in the first week of May. Next up, when WWDC kicks off on June 10th, there will be a lot of attention on Apple's plans for new artificial intelligence features. In the latest edition of his Power On newsletter, Bloomberg's Mark Gurman reiterates that one of Apple's primary focuses will be on privacy and on-device intelligence. Bloomberg says that the initial wave of Apple's AI features will work entirely on device with no cloud processing component. This approach comes with some benefits, including speed, because there is no reliance on the cloud and network connectivity. There's also a privacy benefit, because none of the data or requests are being sent from the device to Apple's servers. But while there are benefits to this on-device strategy, there are also drawbacks. For instance, on-device AI features wouldn't be able to access higher power cloud infrastructure, which can offer hardware that's faster than what's inside the current iPhone models. This is ultimately something I'm interested in watching play out. We're expecting Apple to announce many of its own AI features while simultaneously teaming up with a company like Google for cloud-based artificial intelligence features. There's also the question of device compatibility for AI features powered on device. While cloud-based AI features can run on older devices with slower hardware, because more of the processing is handled in the cloud, on-device features could be limited to only the newest model iPhones with the most powerful A-series processors. This is something Apple will likely have to explain and justify at WWDC in June. We are sponsored this week by Collide. You've probably heard me talk about Collide before, but have you heard that Collide was just acquired by 1Password? That's pretty big news, since these two companies are leading the industry in creating security solutions that put users first. For over a year, Collide Device Trust has helped companies with Okta ensure that only known and secure devices can access their data. And that's what they're still doing, but now as part of 1Password. So if you've got Okta and you've been meaning to check out Collide, now is a great time to do that. Check it out at collide.com/9to5MacDaily. That's KOLIDE.com/9to5MacDaily. My thanks to Collide for their support of the show. Running out today, yesterday we talked about how Apple revised its App Store guidelines to permit game emulators for the first time. Then on Saturday, one of the first such apps was approved, called iGBA. This app allowed users to import and play classic Game Boy games downloaded from the internet on their iPhone or iPad. On Sunday, the app was pulled from the App Store, and as we talked about yesterday, Apple hadn't yet provided a full explanation. But now Apple has clarified why exactly iGBA was removed from the App Store after initially being approved. Apple said that it removed iGBA from the App Store for violating two App Store guidelines, copyright and spam. iGBA for iPhone and iPad was essentially a clone of the open source project GBA for iOS. This led to questions about whether iGBA was removed because of the copyright infringement on GBA for iOS, or because of the possible piracy implications linked to ROM emulators as a category. Apple now says that indeed iGBA was removed in compliance with the App Store guidelines, when it learned that it was a clone of GBA for iOS. Again, a violation of the copyright and spam App Store guidelines. So that is to say, iGBA wasn't removed because of its support for importing ROMs downloaded from the web. Instead, it was removed for being a ripoff of GBA for iOS. So the big picture here is that this is great news for the future of game emulating apps on the iPhone and iPad. It means that Apple will permit game emulators of all kinds, including those that allow users to import ROMs downloaded from the web. There are piracy and copyright concerns around this practice in general, and companies like Nintendo have been historically strict in taking legal action against ROM distributors. But Apple is taking a hands-off approach, and instead says that developers are responsible for ensuring that their game emulating apps abide by all applicable laws. So even though the first game emulator for iPhone has been removed from the App Store, the future of game emulating apps seems brighter than ever for iPhone and iPad users. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Find an ad-free version of the show for $5 a month or $50 a year at 9to5mac.com/join. You can follow along with me on Threads at Chance H. Miller. And we'll be back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.